Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we've got some interesting new data on the auto market for 2023. We also have some first impressions from employees, allegedly, of FSD beta version 12.1. Got a new Cybertruck promotional video and a few other items as well. All right, Tesla today starting off the week at up 1.25%. As I get to the right page here, the NASDAQ up 2.2%. So a bit of an underperformance from Tesla on the day today, but still nice to see a stronger start to the week after a little bit of a tougher week last week. All right, getting into the auto data, which is where we'll start, a little bit more broad than Tesla specific, but some Tesla items in here. We can start with that. So this is data collected by Cox Automotive and Kelley Blue Book. And we can see Tesla sort of in the middle here in terms of market share at 4.2% market share in the United States, according to their estimates, again from KBB. So that's up 0.4% year over year. A pretty decent increase if you look at all these differences year over year. That's actually the third largest increase. So pretty decent gain for Tesla and the largest increase from any automaker of their size or lower, as you can see from the changes here. Some of the circles which they put on here, you can take a look at. Toyota had one of the largest declines at an 0.8% market share drop year over year. Stellantis down 1.3%. Honda actually picking up the most at 1.3% increase in terms of the actual market share number. I think they had a pretty tough 2022, if I remember correctly. I feel like we were talking a lot about Honda being down a lot, so may have been rebounding from a lower base, but nevertheless, interesting to see some of these statistics. Now, one thing when we just look at the total auto market, so you can see change year over year from 2022 to 2023 in this middle section. Obviously, Tesla circled there up 25%, but looking at the total market, we see a 12% increase for the total market from 13.8 million vehicles roughly in 2022. To about 15.5, 15.6 in 2023. So almost a 1.7 million vehicle increase, and it looks like pretty strong numbers for people, right? But throughout the year, we've talked about how this is a challenging sales environment with higher interest rates and things like that. So how does that necessarily fit with some of the numbers that we're seeing here? And that's been a question that we've talked about a few times, but we've got some new, I think, really insightful data that they have collected here as well. So if we keep that 1.7 million additional sales figure in mind year over year, and we go to the very next slide here, helpful order from their presentation deck, we can see that for 2023, which is the yellow lines on this chart, vehicle inventory increased 51% from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, with roughly starting at 1.6, 1.7 million vehicles or so in total, up about 900,000 vehicles to, you know, 2.5, 2.6, something in that range at the end of the year. So 900,000 vehicles, that's more than half of the additional sales that we're seeing here year over year. And this 13.8, I don't know when that's it's almost a historical low. Maybe 2021 was a little bit lower, but historically the annual sales rate for vehicles in the US is more like 17, 18 million. So this is coming off a really low base. It's growing, but half that growth seems to be vehicles that are just being sold and now are contributing to inventory at dealers. So you can see days of supply also supporting that. We're now back to, you know, over 70 days of supply from an inventory perspective industry-wide in the US. And you can see that's pretty much the highest mark, with a small exception at the beginning of 2021, as of course things have been very supply constrained post-COVID. So that is starting to return now to a more normal supply position. Over the last 18 months or so, that return has been happening, and that has allowed, I think, automakers to sell and restock that inventory. But now that dynamic is changing, and we seem to be kind of at the end of that type of a period. It might coincide nicely with declining interest rates. We'll see on that. That could be an effect, but it's an interesting rebalance on where the total market is right now. We won't spend a ton of time on this one. The next slide is very interesting relative to what we're talking about, but you can kind of just see here how this is spread across from different automakers and gives you an idea of how impactful the inventory situation might be for each of them. So you can see a lot of Stellantis stuff over here on the right, Toyota and Honda a little bit over here on the left. So they're probably better positioned in terms of where they're at right now relative to the market, probably a little bit worse on this side. But if we go here again at the industry level, you can see since, you know, 2019 pre-COVID to where we're at now, this is looking at the percent, the incentive percent of the transaction price. So that is higher up here, which means that vehicles were being more discounted, more incentivized by dealers. And then on this axis, we've got the price share of MSRP. So basically how the actual final sale price compared to the MSRP. So here, we've got it at 94% with a lot of incentives. Then in 2021, 2022, with low inventory, those discounts disappear, as we can see from this line declining. The MSRP or the sale price relative to MSRP increases, actually going above 100% for a period of time. And now these are coming back into balance, again, like we would have seen pre-pandemic. So that, along with the inventory graphs here, suggests that there's been this period of time where this rebalancing has been happening, and we're kind of now at the end of that and back to more normal market dynamics, where some of the things that, we've been talking about maybe affecting Tesla more quickly are probably going to start affecting other automakers a little bit more significantly in terms of what's being disclosed by those automakers on their sales lines. So very interesting, and we continue to be in a very dynamic period of time here for the auto industry with electric vehicles coming in, high interest rate environment, a lot of technological change, all these sorts of things happening right now as we're starting to get a little bit of a more return to a normal market environment relative to where we've been with COVID. And then dealers, we've already talked about how dealer profits really, really spiked up very significantly 2021, 2022. That is now starting to come back down. We'll see how much dealers are okay with that. Obviously, their control over that is a little bit limited, but they seem to want to try to hold on to that, unsurprisingly. But you can see sentiment here. I think this is just kind of an index of sentiment. So you can see for new vehicle inventory, that's now increasing. Franchise profits now decreasing as these come back into balance. So again, just very interesting data here, I think, and really good annual data for us to kind of take a look at. That gives us a feel of where the market is, where the market has been, where the market is right now, and where the market is potentially going from this point. So we'll continue to keep an eye on this data as it comes in. Now, with the year wrapped up, we are starting to get some sort of annual sales estimates and rankings and things like that. So according to Car and Driver, in the United States, Tesla, the Model Y, is the fifth best-selling vehicle. You can see some of the vehicles ahead of it, RAV4, a couple of pickups, I guess three pickups here. So for, a car type of vehicle, just coming in second, barely behind the RAV4 according to these estimates. But of course, Model Y would be at a much higher price point than the RAV4. So very successful, of course, in the United States, no surprise to us there. Worldwide, I think we're still waiting for figures to kind of come in. I think there maybe have been a couple articles saying that the Model Y is the best-selling vehicle in the world. Certainly, we've talked about that for that possibility for past quarters this year. We will see if that comes to be the case for the entire year. I don't know that we have enough data quite in yet to make that determination or for others to make that determination. I'm not calculating those things myself, but we'll keep an eye on that and hopefully something that we do see as we get more data in. And then we talked a little bit about European sales. Roland Percher here on X does a great job of tracking these things individually by country. So in aggregate for 2023, we've talked about kind of the high and the low ends of these spectrums with Denmark. We covered in Germany, we covered as well, with overperformance, a little bit of underperformance. UK, a little bit on the bottom there. I think UK had some tax and incentive changes this year that were pretty significant. But outside of Germany and the United Kingdom, we do see in Europe a lot of growth in all these markets, as we can see here, some of them pretty significant. And I guess this is even beyond Europe, but specifically, we haven't talked quite as much about Europe, so you can see kind of all the impacts and strong growth rates in each of these countries, which is nice to see, again, because we kind of talked about both ends of the spectrum, but now we can get a little bit more feel for some of those in between countries and some of the strong growth that Tesla has seen there as well. So nice to see some of those things, and again, thanks to Roland for aggregating that data. All right, next up, we'll move on to FSD version 12.1. So I've got some highlights here just to help me remember. We'll make those look a little bit easier for you guys to read. But this is from TeslaScope. They are getting feedback from people that are testing version 12.1, so employees that do have access already. And they've got a few things to share here. So first one is on Actually Smart Summon. They say that as of this weekend, Tesla has begun internal testing of Actually Smart Summon on the version 12 end-to-end architecture. So that's a feature that we've been waiting for quite a long time, and definitely one that I'm excited about, especially with the transition over to the end-to-end architecture. Hopefully, this is a massive improvement in Smart Summon, but we'll see. But exciting that Tesla's starting to test that now, because hopefully, as we get to the point where the FSD version 12.1 employee test has become more broad, we're getting a little bit closer to that. Also means we're probably getting a little bit close to actually Smart Summon in customer vehicles as well. Then they go through a little bit of the timeline on things they've shared on version 12.1. They say that originally they were communicated a target of January 5th for this broader release of FSD beta 12.1 to employees that we have talked about. They said this actually ended up coming a little bit earlier. So on December 27th, over a week earlier than expected, was when that wave one expansion actually happened. So that's a positive sign that that happened a little bit more quickly than maybe that initial target. Hopefully suggests that things went well with sort of their initial testing. And they say that was substantially faster than the rollout of version 11, which was, of course, the transition over to FSD beta on highways. So also a big change, but maybe took a little bit longer for them to validate and kind of expand that test internally. So nice to see that, and hopefully suggest positive things in terms of the rollout timing. Then they've also shared some feedback here. They did sounds like a little bit of a survey. Surveys you always got to be a little bit careful about with in terms of how the questions are structured and things like that. So take this maybe with a little bit of a grain of salt, but from the feedback that they got from some employees, they said 72% expressed improvements in human-like behavior and general stability with FSD beta version 12 compared to version 11. 20% noted no change, 8% noted somewhat worsened experiences, 40% say they improved roundabouts, 50% no change, 10% worsened experiences, 37% improvement in lane keeping, 60% noted no change, 3% noted some worse experiences. So again, kind of depends on how the question is phrased and things like that, but largely positive, although not so positive that we should expect this to be like a flip of a switch and all of a sudden FSD is solved. Hopefully no one was expecting that. As we have talked about, it's going to take time to continue to build on this architecture and improve the architecture over time. But hopefully this initial version is still a nice step forward with, of course, maybe some regressions, but hopefully the regressions are minor relative to the improvements that we do end up seeing. So hopefully a nice sign there for in a couple of ways, both on the timeline and in these initial sort of feedback points on FSD version 12. So they say, to summarize, Tesla's rapid rate of improvements and progress since version 11 leans towards our projection of initial release of V12 to customers this month, a very likely chance of actually Smart Summon slipping later into the end of Q1. They talked about how there's been a little bit of priority shift to try to get Cybertruck ready to go on FSD beta, as those have started to be delivered to customers, of course. But I think exciting signs across the board here on some of this technology. So we'll keep an eye on that. And again, these are rumors from TeslaScope, so take them with a grain of salt. But hopefully those are largely accurate. All right, next up, kind of a hot topic over the weekend, a Wall Street Journal report here that says that Elon Musk has used illegal drugs, worrying leaders at Tesla and SpaceX. So of course we, you know, see articles like this not infrequently, I would say. It kind of goes through what their sources say, largely are concerns that the sources say were expressed at various points in time over the last sort of, you know, 5 to 6 years, I would say, that maybe board members or other executives had about Elon and possible drug use throughout that period of time. They say Elon Musk and his supporters offer several explanations for his contrarian views, unfiltered speech, and provocative antics. They're an expression of his creativity or the result of mental health challenges or fallout from his stress or sleep deprivation. But then they go on to say that drugs is also another concern from some executives during some periods of time. So we're not going to go through this entire article, you know, feel free to do that. But I think the sort of introductory sentence here explains it, I think, pretty well. Like, they go through a couple of examples that say that people at periods of time, you know, maybe relating to the funding secured tweet, or there was a SpaceX meeting that they mentioned, that they say that during those periods of time, people were maybe concerned that there was drug use involved in some of the decisions that Elon had made at the time. But as this introduction also explains, there are certainly other reasons that could attribute to those things. So although maybe there were concerns at periods of time, it certainly, I don't think, would be anything surprising for Elon to make a decision or say something that would be unusual without any contribution from drugs. I don't think that is a requirement for that sort of an occurrence to happen. So again, feel free to, you know, form your own opinions on this. Elon did comment and say, you know, after the Joe Rogan experience, he agreed at NASA's request to do 3 years of random drug testing. Not even trace quantities were found of any drugs or alcohol. So that's Elon's comment on the matter. And beyond that, I think it's, you know, inside sources, a little bit speculative and things like that. I wouldn't be surprised if Elon has experimented with some of these things. I would probably be more surprised if he hadn't. But whether or not that is something that is significant or impactful to Elon or, you know, how he manages the companies. I think his track record over this period of time obviously kind of speaks for itself. So again, everyone's going to have different opinions on those sorts of things, but feel free to form your own. All right, next up, we've got a 60-second promotional video of the Cybertruck that Tesla has posted. Interesting that it's exactly 60 seconds, as that would be a relatively common advertisement spot length. So it does a nice job of just going through a lot of the different features that, you know, the Cybertruck has that we've talked plenty about. But I think it does a great job of just highlighting those things for people that maybe, you know, don't have the familiarity with it, maybe wouldn't expect it to be capable in the ways that it is capable of. So I think it does a great job of just highlighting those things and maybe introducing them to be people that don't have that general awareness, which we have talked about sometimes, is a need to hopefully increase that awareness. So nice to see this. I would imagine that this is a little bit of a test for Tesla to maybe, you know, throw this in on YouTube videos or wherever else they've done a little bit of this type of advertising before. I think this one's probably a little bit better than some of the other examples that we would have seen. I don't think this is sort of end state of what a Tesla advertisement would look, but I think it's progressing. There have been a lot of people that said, you know, this would make a great Super Bowl ad. I agree that it would. I don't think Tesla's probably quite there yet. They seem to be experimenting in very small ways right now. I wish they would maybe just, you know, take the write-off, right? Take the loss of the $5 or $10 million or whatever the Super Bowl commercial costs and give it a shot, because we do actually have a bit of data on that when Tesla in the past posted that they received a spike in orders just from others advertising EVs on the Super Bowl. They actually called that out, maybe to their own detriment now in terms of this argument. They actually called that out in one of their earnings decks after the Super Bowl. So I think maybe just go for it and learn from there. But Tesla seems more eager to start in very small ways at this point in time. So it's not something I expect, but nice to see them continuing to kind of work on these things and hone their craft a little bit. And hopefully over time that can become a really strong area of Tesla's business as well. Also, a quick one on the Cybertruck here. We continue to see more and more wraps come out. So T-Sportsline has published one that is a sort of matte or satin white, which is kind of fun to see all these different variations. So I wanted to highlight that today in case you hadn't had a chance to see that yet either. So we'll continue to keep an eye out for more of those. Always fun. And we've got an update here on one of Tesla's vehicles. This seems to be relating to some of the EPA range changes that we had talked about before. Tesla may be doing some things to optimize alongside that. One of those things, maybe related, maybe not, but one of those things seems to be a reduction in the speaker count for the Model Y rear wheel drive. So obviously the opening price point Model Y used to come with 13 speakers. Looks like it's now been reduced to 7 speakers, and also the subwoofer seems to have been removed. I wish they would have kept the subwoofer. It's probably the heaviest of the speakers, I would guess. But in general, I think this is probably a good move. There are certainly people that care a lot about, you know, speaker quality, audio quality in vehicles. But there's also a huge number of people that really just don't notice it, don't care, could be happy with the reduced weight, the reduced wiring, the reduced power draw from not, I don't know how significant that is, probably not significant, but obviously reduced costs as well. So I think if people do have interest in that, it would be nice if they could get this configuration with an upgraded sound system. That'd be, I think, ideal scenario. In the absence of that, though, I think probably reducing it, minimizing it a little bit more, probably makes sense for Tesla, because again, there's going to be, I think, a pretty decent chunk of people that are certainly satisfied with this. And I would have to imagine that how important audio is to Tesla, that this is probably still a pretty good configuration in these vehicles as well. So kind of interesting to see that update. We do have potentially a few other updates coming. Green the only in the most recent firmware has spotted a couple of things. Obviously Model Y will get stealth gray color, so we've already seen that come to fruition. Also says that the Model Y, S, and X will be getting efficiency packages in 2024. This could also potentially relate to some of the EPA test changes that we talked about on Friday. Maybe Tesla would optimize a little bit relating to those tests, and that might allow them to state a higher range for this efficiency package, as well as maybe some fundamental changes that do increase efficiency. So we'll keep an eye out for anything on that. And then S and X also getting a physical horn. Of course, right now they work with sort of the hand covering system that Tesla had implemented. We see that change with the Cybertruck, and it sounds like that would also change here in the future with the S and the X on the steering wheel and both the steering wheel and the yokes. All So we'll see on that. We've also got a rumor that the Highland Model 3 may be announced on Sunday. This is just a random Reddit rumor. It says, next Sunday, hope I don't lose my job. Moderators have verified my news. So not something we need to spend a lot of time on, but hopefully this would be accurate. And if we do see an announcement, I think that'd be January 14th. That would obviously be pretty exciting and quite a bit earlier than perhaps most people would be kind of expecting that transition to happen. So not keeping my fingers too crossed on that, but we'll see. We've also got a report out of Spain that Tesla has established a holding company in Spain. Remember, we had some rumors a while back that Tesla was interested in maybe putting a gigafactory in Spain. Then there was a report that they were no longer interested because of some leaks that had happened. Now we're getting some reports here that maybe this holding company could be related to Tesla's interest in establishing a gigafactory. Could have other purposes too, but something interesting to pass along. All right, the Consumer Electronics Show has kicked off for media. It starts to open up tomorrow to general consumers. But at CES, Volkswagen is announcing that they are integrating ChatGPT into their vehicles. So we've talked about this possibility with xAI for Tesla. But Volkswagen making that move with ChatGPT, sounds like this will be coming in the second quarter of 2024 to many of their vehicles. They mentioned the ID.7, ID.4, ID.5, ID.3, and the Tiguan and Passat, as well as the new Volkswagen Golf. So they say this will integrate into the back end of their Volkswagen voice assistant, so probably offering a lot more intelligent, understanding and responses, certainly, with that voice assistant. So I don't know if they've demoed this yet or if that'll come in the next few days, but it'll be interesting to see how that works for Volkswagen. And then lastly, we have talked before about how Elon is expecting to do a SpaceX company update as well as a Tesla company update after the 10K, which will come about a week after Tesla's earnings report. But for now, it looks like the SpaceX update may happen on January 11th. Elon mentioned when he was doing a live stream of, Diablo, that this would be happening sometime on Thursday. So we'll keep an eye out for that. That would be January 11th. And obviously, that would be exciting to see if we do see that. All right, that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, January 9th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.